Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3. Hello and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast. I'm Darren Moser, stranded here with my two co-hosts, Daniel and Philip. Guys, it's day 176. It's being stranded. It's feeling a lot like being quarantined, but maybe that's too on the nose. But how has your last few weeks been? Any binge watching or sci-fi engaging? Okay, can we say that? Yeah, we can say that.
I think we're supposed to say it. Aren't we under contract to say it at least once an episode or something?
That actually expired about 100 episodes ago, that contract. We've just been floating blind since then, but I think we'll be okay.
Okay.
I'm still in my TOS rewatch. I'm in because TOS, the seasons are very long. I mean, that's, in a good way. But I'm probably in the first third of season two.
Like Gene would have wanted it.
Exactly. 29 episodes for anyway. Whatever it is. But anyway, I'm in the first third of season two. So things are going well. I'm trying to think of, I got to iMUD. So I watched that. But anyway, I'm also reading.
Truly the best of times.
But I'm also reading Star Trek book, literally called the Star Trek book. Strange New Worlds Boldly Explained. It's just a sort of generic, I mean, it's very, well done, but sort of, how they break it up. They sort of kind of try to do an in.
Philip, there's only one Star Trek book at all. It's called Ship of the Line. You might have heard of it. It's, when was this printed?
Darren, did you pull
1997.
Did you pull that out from underneath the tactical console?
Look, there's this little pocket I have right here.
That's amazing.
Let me check my Star Trek technical manual and see if there's a pocket
I would say to my local, but that's not alive. It's like 50 minutes away. But I did go to a used bookstore. That was my, I'm going to live in the world for the first time in 3 months. To sell some books, as I just had piles of them. But anyway, I was, buying cheap books in the Star Trek section. And I bought, and I know it's old, but I know you have it, Darren. But it was a dollar, if it wasn't even 90 cents or something. But the Star Trek chronology, which I know is probably outdated, but I'm like, it's a reference book that's just interesting, I think, to have. Because, it was in the mid-90s, which I'm sure half of it probably doesn't make sense anymore. But that was my little Star Trek book.
Yeah, it ends mid-season 4 of TNG or something like that.
And then there was no more history made.
Unlike the internet, it's not quite the living document we hoped it would be, but...
The used bookstore you went to, Philip, did that happen to be in Idaho? Or was it Idaho or Iowa that the Millennium Gate...
Yes. Oh, I forget what it was, yes.
I can't remember what it was. Anyways.
Well, and I see you've also been posting some more pictures with your set extensions for your Playmates figures. Some holographic arches and... Just every time I see them, I'm jealous and I want to add to my collection, but I don't. I don't. Not yet.
It was a fun little exercise on Instagram of trying to do a, because I have, like you said, the My Playmates figure. So I used Riker and Troy. And then from Triple Fiction Productions, 3D printing, I have a holodeck arch, but it's the arch separates from the doors. So I did in three pictures. Sort of them on the, in the back, in my backyard, of course. But so you have the doors in the archway, and then the next picture, the doors disappear. And then in the next picture, the arch disappears. So it's the holodeck program coming to life. So that's what happens when you have time on your hands and toys.
Nice.
What about you, Daniel? What have you been doing in this time of stuff?
Not much, honestly. I've actually been, toe deep in playing a bunch of Lego Star Wars games, which always makes me really regret the fact that there's terrible Star Trek licensing and we don't get a Lego game, but maybe someday now, I'm hoping.
Oh man, like a star, Well, I don't know how they would do it, but, like, you know, there's that new Star Wars Squadrons game coming out this fall. But I don't... That's the thing with Star Trek, so different, where it's not as fighter ship-based.
Yeah, that kind of
it's
game...
More capital ship-based.
That kind of game... Yeah, making a proper Star Trek game would be difficult. Making a decent Lego Star Trek game would be very easy to do. And you'd have so many characters, man. It's so easy. But Star Trek characters, all you have to do is change the head out. And there you go. For Legos. But
I was watching the new DuckTales. I mean...
Okay.
I mean, it's old because it's on Disney Plus. Like, I'm watching the first season. I'm sure they're in, like, season three by now. But anyway... The cool thing, I think, about the Disneyverse, or the Duckaverse, or whatever, like, everything exists in DuckTales. So, like, right. For instance, there's an episode, and it's almost like a B-story, or it's, like, just in the background, the Rescue Rangers.
Yeah.
And I was
I've
just like,
that,
what the...
Where they, it's like they come out yeah. of, like, the wall, yeah, get in their plane, and take off. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's a Darkwing Duck reference,
was,
like,
yeah,
he's a... Yeah.
I turned on an episode... And because I've watched the old Darkwing Duck on Disney Plus, you know, I'll either watch new DuckTales or old Darkwing. And so I clicked an episode and was got distracted, and I saw Darkwing Duck, like the old Darkwing Duck. I was like, oh, I must have accidentally pressed the wrong thing. But no, new Launchpad is watching an old episode of Darkwing. I was like, oh my god, this is
that's
so
funny.
Cool. But anyway, sorry.
No, yeah, I've been enjoying that show as well. I'll usually watch. Been trying to work through Gargoyles and stuff like that.
But of course, Gizmo Duck, my favorite, voiced by Miranda.
Oh, is it? Really?
That's right.
Oh, well, I'll bet Daniel is one of the
ducklings, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, today on City Alpha 3, we're going to be talking about some of the humorous moments of Star Trek. And this actually came about from a tweet. Yes, Twitter, it still exists. Philip posted on his Twitter account. Philip, what is that? What is that Twitter name again? Usually we wait till the end, but we won't wait that long.
At NC Public Servant.
And he just posted a simple question. What is the funniest episode in the Star Trek franchise? And what are you up to? 130 responses?
133 right now.
Wow, that is a lot of answers. So let's dive into some of those. Not that we're going to get to all of them. This won't be one of Darren's crazy list episodes that turns into a two-parter. Been a while since we've done that. But no, I think, you know, because Star Trek, it has fun with itself. It definitely does, you know, but they also still deal with, you know, difficult topics. I mean, we just talked about past tense, which isn't, you know, the... humor joy filled you know, but you still get some witty banter from like Dax, and you know, you have more of like the B plot with O'Brien and Kate and Kira, yeah. You know, that's obviously played for laughs because we're like, guys, we got to have something funny in this episode. It's not just say you broke your nose. I mean, it's it'll be fine. But no, there's and we can get to if any of these episodes we list are your guys' favorite funny episodes, be sure to chime in. But, oh gosh, iMud, Drew, gosh, why do you have to start? Why do you have to start there? I mean.
Yeah, it's just but just watching TOS.
Yeah, you just watched it again.
Yeah, I mean, TOS in general has.
Willingly.
A lot of funny episodes, you know, not necessarily. Surrealist sometimes, like, in other words, I'm thinking of Shore Leave, which is like, oh, that's a funny episode, but like, you don't know, it's like kind of a horror humor episode because they don't know, you know, McCoy's dying, this one girl's getting attacked by you know, Don Juan, and you know, there's airplanes strafing him, you know, it's not like haha, but you know, it's some surreal, but then of course
you can look back on it and laugh, but yeah. Not during.
But then even my wife Jessica knows to make fun of the end of every TOS episode by laughing uproariously at, you know, because it's always the laugh on the bridge is how they ended up.
Oh, so
you know.
She joins in on the laugh?
Yeah. Da, 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 da. Yeah, so, yeah.
The freeze frame laugh.
But, you know, like, so iMud is not, it's kind of, again, it's surreal because that part where they're trying to fool the androids, when we talked about it last week, you know, it's weird. I mean, it's funny, but it's, you know, I mean, and the part about like, oh, ex-wives, huh, they sure are shrill, aren't they? And you're like, I don't know. Okay.
in the 60s, maybe? I don't know. We could get away with that joke. Well, one that's definitely ranking high. You know, I'm wondering if comedy in Star Trek is directionally proportional to the amount of quotability an episode has. Because one fan favorite for sure is Bride of Chaotica. And it's just, I mean, from the premise, which is, you know, just, I think it's best when Tom is just trying to sum it up, where he's like, you know, like, let me get this straight. You know, I need to pose as Chaotica.
And his army of evil.
And his army of evil. And it's just, and he just says it so deadpan. But, you know, that, is it the situation that is so funny? Is it the lines that we get that we can quote? I don't know. It's just such a
lot of these.
Is it the black and white?
A lot of times Star Trek can struggle with this idea, but I'm sure we'll talk about a lot of these episodes, but a lot of times when they really commit to it, to like a crazy bit, it's really, really good. That's like the best stuff that we see. When it's like, let's make the whole episode black and white or about a baseball game or whatever. And it's like, you're just like, it's, and then they, because we love these characters so much, it tends to be, to me, a lot of character stuff that really, really makes me laugh. And I just, Bride of Chaotica it's probably my favorite Voyager episode. I mean, it's so much fun. It's great.
And I think they often in comedy, and we'll talk about the examples here, we name episodes. I think there's a lot of ways to do it, but I think what Star Trek leans on the most, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, is the fish out of water. Because we've created this Star Trek universe that we're that we all take seriously, of course, because I mean that's
what we have really advanced technology to make our lives better, but
it's all science based, even though it's science fiction, but you know, it's a believable world that we've created. So it's real. It's real. And but so when they get into no one said Star Trek 4, I don't think. But anyway, like 1987, they are fish out of water because we know what the Star Trek world's supposed to be like, but they're in here. Or they're in the black and white 1950s sci-fi serials that it's, you know, and so just that we love our Star Trek world so much, anytime they're in an outside of that world, it's often funny.
That's true. A lot of the episodes where they transpose them into something that we're more familiar with than those characters, I always name it for Future Tense, the Voyager one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Q episodes. They start to blend together and it's hard to tell which is which. And you just said Star Trek 4. I mean, Star Trek 4 has a lot of humor, you know, and it's a lot of it's delivered by Spock, which is, you know, a very dry response. But it's really the Spock, Bones and Kirk trio are just belting out the one-liners, you know, like simple logic and, you know, double dumbass on you and
nuclear vessels. Can you tell me where the nuclear vessels are?
Which, you know, it's like, I wonder if they think that those are going to be as iconic lines, or is it just, let's make the Russians say something about nuclear vessels in 1980s.
Yeah, which I think because of his over-the-top accent, this is going to be me being old man on the bridge for a second. Like, it's funny just the way he says the line, but I wonder for folks who are a little bit younger, that the real humor of the situation is, as you said, the 1980s, a Russian asking where we keep our nuclear weapons, is, I guess, to a certain extent, to these days, I suppose, as well. But anyway, you know, is very ironic.
Another one from the Twitter list is, I think it's Cupid, where you have the Robin Hood and, you know, Worf is protesting that he is not a merry man. I mean, just Worf is Will Scarlet. I mean, just that sentence right there. And Data with, like, a balding crown of head, you know, it's just, they just look so funny.
There, TNG, I don't need to think about, like, what are the actual, all the funny episodes of TNG? Because, like I said, you know, Star Trek does take it so seriously. But there's a comedic bit there that is such a comedic bit that it's almost outside of a Star Trek writing where, we all have seen this in comedic movies, where, you know, LaForge strumming the lute and Worf just takes it out of his hand, cracks it against the, gives it back and is like, sorry.
Like, he couldn't just say, Commander, please stop that. He's like, nope, that wouldn't be nearly as funny.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's... also, we have, like, a Timescape, which, you know, it overall isn't extremely funny, but when Picard is starting to lose it and is drawing the little happy face in the warp core breach...
Well, it even has that beginning scene, though, that...
Right. They're talking, you know, around the table.
Yeah, it goes on and on in some kind of unbroken sentence. And then, you know, he came up to me and said he wanted to, you know, do some private studies in procreation.
Yeah.
Did you take him up on it, counselor?
That's true. Data is often, you know, the voice of humor because he doesn't get it.
He's your ultimate straight man.
What about you, Daniel? What's one of your favorite? It doesn't have to just be TNG. We've been very TNG heavy, but...
All our lives.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, it's not like we did a TNG podcast at all for hundreds of episodes.
I mean, you could do... Like, I like to do the 1-2 punch of Tribbles. The original
Trials and Tribulations.
Yeah, and the original and Deep Space Nine one, because they're both great. And they're obviously really good companion pieces of each other as well. So, and it's just... I mean, obviously, even Tribbles themselves are kind of a horrific joke, like terribly, terribly scary, but also really funny. And there's a lot of silly stuff you can do with them, and it's great. It all works really, really well. I think it's really funny stuff.
I'm just picturing Bashir trying to hit on his possible great grandmother. We not sure about it.
Well, you know, and. I was going to say it's understated. It's not understated at all. But, like, Miles and Julian often have that comedic relationship. I mean, and I hate to use this word. It's very bro-y. I don't know. It's probably a better word.
It's a bromance.
But anyway, And so, but, you know, because emotionally it can be, there's emotional stuff too. But, like, the humor there is always there. I mean, they're a mismatched pair. Again, that's always funny.
Well, and often we'll have a lot of Q. I mean, we already said Cupid, but like from bringing a mariachi band onto the bridge to
showing up,
you
naked.
Know, just yeah, showed, you know, being asked to die. I mean, it's like he's just that prankster where, you know, he's, I don't know, is there a Q episodes that's fully
Iborg
without humor? I was going to say, if there's anyone...
But even not Death Wish, because you'll have, like, during the trial, the short hearing, you know, because you have, like, the guy from the 60s show up. And
right.
Isaac Newton, you know, if he didn't discover the apple, he would have died penniless, you know, dying of, like, gonorrhea or something like that or something, you know,
to Woodstock. And
yeah, I think Iborg is... He has no... It's not funny ever. I think...
Oh, it's... Ulyss. No, anyway, yes. The
you mean
one.
Q-Who?
Q-Who, sorry. Yes, you're right.
I don't think Iborg. I know what you mean. The first episode with the Borg.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, that one isn't funny at all.
Yeah, he plays it pretty straight. Well, because he's spiting Picard. He's being like, oh, you think you can handle everything? Well, here, let me drop you into the worst situation possible.
Well, and certainly, oh gosh, what was the second one that we don't ever talk about? Second Q episode. Daniel, now you have me doing it. but anyway, season one, you know, or is it?
I thought the Borg one was the second Q episode.
No, it's the one where you offer
the one
Riker.
Where they go in the penalty box. Yeah.
Yes. See, they don't even talk about it. So, but, you know, yes. Yeah. Oh. The animal things. And...
Oh, gosh. Yeah. That's got to be season one.
I think it is too. Yeah. So, anyway.
It's like. It looks like a 1960s backlot set of the planet. Like, it looks really
That's
bad.
When Q turns into Data, though, and I love that part.
Oh,
that
true.
Part is really cool. It's, like, unnerving because it's,
called?
Like, Q with yellow eyes.
This.
Q in the Gray was actually good.
Yeah.
Daniel looks that up.
Hiding Q.
Yeah, the one that makes no sense.
That's the problem with the Q episodes is they're witty, but they're so interchangeable that it makes it hard to... keep them straight.
Well, we didn't mention, because I know it's on the list, one we're not necessarily a fan of, but let's see if we can re-examine it for 5 seconds. The Trouble with Edward, because we didn't mention Tribble episodes.
I knew you're gonna bring that up eventually, but
you know, a lot of folks like that or thought it was funny, so
yeah, some folks did. I mean,
I don't know, Dan, you're like John Benjamin, whatever.
Oh, John H. Benjamin, yeah.
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
Yeah.
The writing in that is just a little rough. I was thinking what I was talking earlier about, like, when Star Trek commits to the bit, it can pay off. And I was thinking, like, do we have anything like that, Discovery or or Picard. And then I was thinking of, remember when we were, before the episode came out, the one where they go down to the planet and they were all...
Stardust City, right?
Yeah, yeah. And we were all hoping for this kind of fun, rompy adventure. And then it turns out, no, it's
eye-gouging death, murder, Seven revenge.
Just murders everybody, and then and then that's it. And it's like, okay, that's the thing. Like, they didn't commit to it, so you don't get to have that. Like, that's kind of part of this magic I feel like it's missing. It's like you don't take time to do stupid stuff. And then in between all this really heavy stuff, it's not, it's too dense. So I was just thinking about that.
Well, to indulge in five-second speculation, Under a Strange New Worlds, we'll look at TOS for the funny episodes.
Yeah, I hope so.
That's true.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, Discovery and Picard, I mean, they're all dramas. I'm not trying
to
say.
And Lower Decks, I mean, is
got
to have tons
of
humor.
You're right. And then Lower Decks is probably going to be nothing but humor.
Well, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but the episode where the Doctor inhabits Seven of Nine's body. Yeah. And so it's...
it was on the list.
Jerry Ryan playing Robert Picardo... playing Seven of Nine, which is just hilarious. That's a lot of good acting too. I mean Robert Picardo gives a lot really well, and or just not to to jump past
Body
that,
and Soul.
Is that right?
Is it Body and Soul?
I can't remember, but anyway,
I'm not sure. But then you also have like Tinker Tenor, Doctor Spy with
another doctor,
but this is where you had the ECH, Emergency Command Hologram, and the pips were like, something, just that is like the funniest, not the funniest, but like, it's such a nice touch where, you know, he activates it, his shoulders change to red, and then the flare of the pips just being like, you know, what is it? It's like the A-team. It's like, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the ECH, you know, as the pips come out.
Robert Picardo himself is just so good at that sort of humor. Like, and they use him to maximum effect in Voyager, so it's great. But it's just because that idea isn't inherently funny, like, in and of itself. But it's like his gusto and his like confidence, and he's so excited to do it. It's just it's really good.
It kind of makes me think of the Barclay episode where he is imagining himself as like the hero. Mm-hmm. It's kind of similar. I mean, not that he's like Barclay, but where he's basically imagining a larger role in his life, you know, and he's daydreaming. I mean, that's exactly what it is what the aliens are picking up in their transmissions.
I would need my wife here for the technical terms, but it reminds me, and I'll probably say this all wrong. It reminds me in Commedia dell'arte. There's these like, I'll get it all wrong. There's like eight figures of these types of characters. It's almost like stock characters in Greece, or you know, but like, and one of them is sort of like you have high status, low status, but then you have like the low status, but like, or the high status one, the guy who thinks he knows everything, very self-important. In some ways, that can be the Doctor. I mean, because we know he has a range and he can be very empathetic and stuff, but he does have that pomposity that often leads itself to humor.
Yeah, I think they, like you said, Daniel, they really. I mean, we all really like the Doctor's character, but we almost don't give enough credit to the fact that they really knocked out of the park casting Robert Picardo. Like, they got so much out of him as an actor for 7 years. Like, I can't even imagine that show without all of the stories they were able to tell, the way they utilized him, from singing to just the comedic timing, you know, just that personality.
That's an interesting idea, like, who... Of each of the crews is the funny one. Like, which one do we like? Or
which
think...
one's the cute one?
Yeah. Oh, okay, okay.
Who's there the bad boy?
So, so I think he was... I would still say the Doctor in Voyager, even though Seven of Nine gets a lot of dry responses, but not, which are played for humor, but not as much as the Doctor. Like, he... I mean, even just like what the season one episode where his holo matrix is damaged and he's like shrunk to 2 foot tall and you have to change to your emergency medical holographic channel.
See, I think Neelix was originally supposed to be the comedic relief and it doesn't work that great. And then
is the annoying relief.
Right, right. You know? In the
early writing.
Yeah, sure, sure. And of course, better. You know, Neil, not to say anything bad about Neelix or anything like that, it's just like, I feel like later on...
Of the Planeteers, Neelix has heart. You know, so.
That's true. That's true.
Well, I mean, without him, you can't make Captain Planet. So
that's
it
true.
Is
that's what I'm saying. He's essential. He's essential. Yeah, it almost makes me think of a bit of a... I know we're kind of... But, like, it, what actor, really... Like, if you were a writer, that necessarily isn't your favorite character, but you just love to write for. Like, you would love to write for Robert Picardo. Like, any scene, we're going to give it to Robert Picardo to right. make him. Just like,
and you can see that they do that.
Even, like, with TNG, like, Brent, there's so much we obviously see that Brent can do. You know, you're going to write, you know, make him up all the characters, Fistful of Data's, you know.
It's almost like a versatile actor who is usually playing the straight man. Like, that's kind of the... formula. I mean, you have Spock, you know, is often the humor, you know, dropping the lines.
And even John Billingsley as Phlox. I would love to write for John because he can, the way he performs, it's serious, but it's, I don't even know how to just talk about Phlox because he's not serious, but he's not like broad.
He has an intrinsic
he's
humor.
Alien. Yeah. Yeah. He just has this way
that
of he's.
Big smile.
Yeah.
Big, big smile. Yeah, no, I see it. Phlox.
I believe that is a nipple.
And then, now, okay, with DS9, would you say, I don't want to say Odo, because he is, like, so far the straight man that it's like, it, like the Quark Odo dynamic, yes. But just Odo, no.
I'd say, no, yeah, but Deep Space Nine is tough because, in a lot of ways, it's more based on character relationships. Like you mentioned,
right.
Bashir and O'Brien earlier. And I mean, everybody gets funny things to do in Deep Space Nine for sure. But like, think of Quark and I mean, like, you, because you can kind of put Quark in like a what you would think would be a Neelix role, where Quark always is kind of supposed to be the one that's not taken seriously and all this sort of stuff. But the bumbling idiot kind of a thing. And but I don't know. It's just Deep Space Nine. I feel like it's not any one character because there's already 8 trillion characters on Deep Space Nine anyways. So, but I think they get a lot out of all of the people that they put on the show.
No, I think you're right. It's the pairings. It's, you know, yeah. O'Brien and Bashir aren't intrinsically funniest. You know, they can have their serious episodes, but then you put them together and you get a lot of great moments. Same with, you know, Odo and Quark. What do you think, Philip?
I was just looking at the list here for DS9. So the Ferengi is often, you know, Ferengi episodes. So the Magnificent Ferengi.
Yeah.
Which I think is, you know, again, not, the Ferengi aren't usually
Little Green Men.
Yeah, yes. And I think
mean, that one, again, it's that, like you said, putting them in a situation where we know our 1950s history a little bit better than they do.
But I remember doing a DS9. I mean, I've done a bunch of DS9 rewatches at this point in my life, but I remember during DS9 rewatch, which, you know, I always thought was not my favorite series, and I'm like, oh, Ferengi. I don't like the Ferengi episodes. But then I would watch some of them, like, I don't know, this is actually a good one, you know? I would always want to be, like, reluctantly, I'm like, nah, this is actually pretty funny. Like, the ones, you know, where the first one where we meet his mom, it's interesting, because there's serious stuff to it, too. It's not always funny. But, like, you know, but the Magnificent Ferengi, you know, all you said is it's interesting because even the Ferengi themselves, once you get Nog, Rom, Quark, and then Brunt, I mean, they're all Ferengi, but they still are different characters, so they all have different reactions, which is always what you like to happen.
The Ferengi race is an interesting, like, it's interesting. Like, we like learning more about this crazy society and their rules and their prejudices and just how it's built, and we're like, it's kind of like a house of cards, and we're like, how is this... How does this work? Like, how have you not collapsed in on yourself over the millennium? But, you know, but it's a, yeah, they're fun to write for. And it's interesting, you know, we're commented on Quark being kind of a similar Neelix role, but I would never call him the bumbling idiot just because he's just who he is. And he doesn't apologize for it. He's greedy, but he obviously cares, you know, about his family. But if he has the chance, like, again, like that episode where he goes up against the other shop owner that opens up, like, that's a hilarious episode because you actually see him kind of sweating it, like, I'm losing my customers, like, what am I gonna do?
Yeah, and like, you think of like the Quark gets married to the Klingon episode and stuff like that.
House of Quark. Yeah.
There's so much good stuff around Quark. And again, it's a credit too to
just that sentence, Quark gets married to a Klingon. Like, you know you're going to be in for a good ride.
It's a credit to Armin because, you know, not only acting through all that tremendous amount of makeup, but he's just a really funny dude. He's just really, really good at timing. So.
And then for some of the other DS9 characters who, as you say, we don't always necessarily get that. So Take Me Out to the Holosuite. It's been a while since I've watched that one. But
yeah,
that's the whole cast.
Death to the opposition.
Literally the whole cast there. So
yeah, and everybody does something funny in that episode.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that episode is really sweet, too. It's like
Bad News Bears.
Yeah, it's such a great episode. Yeah. Man, that's one of my favorites for sure. But it is the whole... It's the same sort of thing that we talked about with the Cupid episode, where it's everybody gets in on this crazy situation, gets to have fun, but there's still somewhat...
Gets to wear something besides their standard uniform. Yeah.
And it's a somewhat serious stakes, though. Like, at the end, you're still rooting for the team. You're still rooting for the people. But, you know, it's not like end of the universe stuff. It's really good. Really good.
And also, if I remember the ending correctly, they lose, right? They just celebrate that Rom
scores.
Like
10-0 or 10-1
or
something.
Or one run, I mean.
Well, yeah, because they, let's see, like, I think a couple of their people are out. Like, they can't play.
And we have to get Rom.
So he brings in Rom, and Rom's all nervous. And then Sisko's been ejected from the game, so he's stuck in the stands. And he activates the crowd holograms, so they're all cheering Rom on. And I think he doesn't swing. He literally just stands there, not sure what to do, which ends up bunting it. And then he runs.
Or sacrifice or something? Or something,
yeah, right. Sacrifice play or something so Nog or someone can get home. And everyone cheers and lifts him up like it's the, you know, hero of the hour. Mm-hmm. And the Vulcans are like, you guys lost like 10-1. And they're like, we don't care. And yeah, that's a great episode.
And that's a lesson for Sisko. That's a lesson. A lesson for the lead of the show. Like,
yeah,
because he's taking it seriously.
He's taking it way too seriously, which it's also like, these aren't baseball players. Like, these are Starfleet officers. Like, they're not going up against a Vulcan team, which plays together as a team. So I don't know what he was expecting, but.
Now, there's, I saw two of these, at least, responses. And, you know, I'm a big supporter of first season TNG, but I don't know if I can get fully on board with the naked now as a.
But see, that's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, just
everyone's
plain
drunk.
Weird is, you know, yeah, I don't know.
No.
I think it's Starship Mine, where they're at the, you know, the, I guess the B plot, where they're, you know, at the reception and
Hutch.
Data's kind of like doing the, you know, call me Hutch, you know, swagger. And again, you get Brent Spiner just knocking it out of the park as Data, emoting like crazy. And, you know, rest in peace, Hutch, who did not survive the day. But that that's a great part to that episode because it balances out the extreme seriousness of Die Hard on the Enterprise, which is basically what Picard is going through.
Yeah, they're all just down there, not going.
One we haven't mentioned is the Voyager one. It's a Doctor one, but of course one we always reference, and that's Message in a Bottle.
Ah, yes.
Yes, so many buttons. Again, the quotability, I think, is a real indicator. If you have like five or six lines you can quote, it's probably going to be a funny episode.
What attack vector should we use? Alpha?
Alpha. What's so funny about that is it's kind of got a Galaxy Quest feel. Like if we were transported onto this bridge and all the rest of the crew is knocked out and we have to use the verbal commands, we don't know what to do. We're not trained Starfleet officers. So, yeah, we'd be like, do you wish to initiate multi-vector? Sure.
That sounds good.
Do that.
Romulans.
I mean, what actually, that is exactly out of Galaxy Quest. Now that I think about it, there's that part where he's like, we'll do that, you know, because he doesn't know.
Oh, it was
yeah,
that's
who
like
we
a,
target
Tony
the
Shalhoub.
Romulans.
It's like Tony yeah. Shalhoub, like, how are we going to fix this? According to the guys, we got to regenerate the Unipix.
Hey,
that's what they
sorry.
Told me. Yeah, let's do that. Group yeah. hug. Guys.
Computer, is there a auxiliary group of beryllium spheres? I need to watch that movie again. Okay, that's, I mean, we're talking about comedy. Should we have to list that as our number one Star Trek episode for comedy? Is Galaxy Quest? Well, and again, to dip into the data well, you know, like you said, fistful of datas. I mean, you just start to get from his, I think Paw is my favorite of the data-isms in that episode, where he's just like just staring you down, and he's just like, get over here, boy, you know, just,
oh man, it's been a while since I've seen that episode.
He's got that black hat. Yeah,
although I don't know, there's that and there's the, you know, saloon girl at the very end.
Mr. Wolf.
Just for the fact that Worf is so uncomfortable. I think the only thing that would have made that episode even funnier is if instead of Deanna, maybe you had like Luxana brought in somehow just to take it up another little notch.
I believe someone did respond with anything all the Luxana Troy episodes. Which, you know,
that's true.
Except for Dark Page.
I was gonna say there's one maybe that sticks out a little bit, but
and then even the again, it's been a second
half a life.
Yeah, well, yeah, and I was also thinking of the second DS9 episode because she's pregnant yeah. and the husband's gonna. Not that's source more so sweet.
Is that the one where
funny.
She marries Odo?
Yeah,
and they have the melting scene Fair and moon. the or is it the first one? I always mix them up, but like where he can't yeah. hold his form in the
yeah,
elevator.
That's the first one, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's, well, again, because they always play her character for laughs. When she has those serious moments, they resonate more because you're like, oh, this is an actual person with actual feelings.
She takes her wig off, like, because, you know, then.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Now, a series we haven't mentioned, Shuttle Pod 1.
Okay, that's a funny
yeah.
one, too.
Although, yeah, it's funny, but it is also very serious. I mean, it's the,
right.
These guys essentially think they're about
they
to die.
They think the Enterprise, and they think the Enterprise has been destroyed.
Yeah. But it is funny for sure. Yeah.
Tell me, Commander, do you think T'Pol has a nice bum?
I mean, that's season one, right?
Yes.
It feels like season one episode. Like, we're not quite sure what these characters would say. Let's just.
They're fooling Reed you into something. Thinking Reed's interesting, and no.
Oh,
someone posted attention, Bajoran workers, civil defense. You know, again, overall, not like high comedy, but everything coming out of Dukat, like all the Dukat parts are great because his little pre-recorded monologues, like it's like. You're like, Bajoran workers, you have 5 minutes to turn over the station to your, you know, Cardassian overlords. And he's like, apparently you haven't listened. And then at the end, he beams in and, like, loses control of the situation. Yeah, he's really the funny part of that whole episode is just Dukat being stuck.
Yeah, some of this stuff is tricky because there's a handful of Star Trek funny episodes, but there's lots of humor
right.
in all of Star Trek.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Oh yeah.
So it's like there's funny things in almost every single episode. You know.
Oh, row, row.
I don't know. Does 12 Klingons constitute a swarm? or Worf saying, you know, we do not speak of it with outsiders. Like that's all he's got to say about the forehead. Those are Klingons. I'm cutting you guys off.
Or the fact that you can't watch the original TOS tribbles and not imagine Sisko throwing tribbles at Kirk's head.
No, it was Sisko and Dax. Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Now one that's a DS9 that we didn't mention. Our man Bashir.
Oh yeah.
See, I don't think of that.
Garrick.
It's a funny episode. It's like I love it because it's a great.
I mean, they're all they're all playing against type, as it were.
Yeah, it is. No, it definitely is a funny episode, but I wouldn't. It doesn't come into my head because I think of it more as a loving homage to Bond films. And but it is. It's really funny. It's really, really funny, and it's a great episode on top of everything else. So, and that's a great, like, that's a great conceit of the holodeck that we didn't even get in TNG, where basically everybody has to inhabit a character that's on the holodeck because they had to beam into the holodeck or whatever. It was great. I liked it. I really liked that. But
well, and just Avery Brooks playing a villain is hecka scary, because yeah, especially like a madman type villain, like
Dr. No, whatever.
Yeah, Dr. Noah.
Oh yeah, what was his
name? Armageddon or something, yes, whatever his name is. It's probably his name. But yeah, where he's just like wanting to destroy the world, and at the end he gets his way. Well, and Garak. Oh my gosh, we haven't even mentioned Garak.
Yeah, very
like,
subtle.
Literally everything out of Garak's, you know.
It's either funny or sinister. That's basically Garak's two
or
switches.
Or funny sinister at the same time. You know,
there's a couple times it's like where it's sad.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, that's
sinisterly sad.
Sinisterly.
What is it? Well, like, I love the scene where Bashir is telling him the story of the boy who cried wolf. And he's like, haven't you ever heard the story of the boy? He's like, no, my dear doctor, please tell me. It's like, well, blah, blah, blah. You know, they, and it's like, and you know, when you tell the same lie, you know, he's like, when you lie all the time, no one will ever believe you. And he's like, is that the moral you got from that story? He's like, of course. Well, what other morals there? And he's like, never tell the same lie twice. It's just like, well, you're not wrong, Garak, but man, I'm going to sleep with one eye open and my phaser under my pillow. You're creeping me out.
So here's another Enterprise. Because, you know, again, you don't often think Enterprise. Acquisition. I think, to me, the funny part of that is the writers going, we're, and I don't know how it actually works, but we're going to do a Ferengi episode, but we
and
can't.
And not show the Ferengi.
We can't let the, and so I think there's, but allowing that to be, because they did it with the Borg, which is not funny, of course, it's the Borg.
the Borg.
I know. No. But I, you know, it's interesting. Acquisition, yeah.
I wouldn't.
Well, didn't, yeah. And Ethan Phillips did a Borg in that, didn't he? Or not a Borg, sorry, a Ferengi.
Ferengi, yeah.
It was Ethan Phillips and somebody else who had already been a Ferengi. No, it was, wasn't it Ethan Phillips and Clint Howard?
Yes.
I think that's who the other Ferengi was.
Oh, had it been the 2.5 years where Clint Howard has to...
Yeah.
Sorry,
I think I could be wrong about that, though.
I know. The aliens.
Oh.
There.
Was it, Jeffrey Combs?
Or was it Jeffrey Combs?
Oh, it might have been Jeffrey Combs. That's who...
Yeah. I think. Someone looked that up. But,
yeah, it was
talking to you
Combs.
Listeners.
Okay, up. I was gonna say listeners. I thought it was Ethan Phillips and Jeffrey Combs. Makes more sense. Well, and there's some good parts in the movies as well. You have, I mean, in Generations, where Data gets his emotion chip and he starts to, you know, well, he's more like having a psychotic breakdown, I guess. But you have like the Mr. Tri-Quarter.
Darren, that is not funny.
Oh, when he pushes her off into the water. Okay, that is funny, but it's also funny for the wrong reasons, I guess. Yeah,
but a lot of mentions about the TOS episode, A Piece of the Action, where everyone gets to play a monster.
Oh, the gangster one, right? Yeah.
Yep.
That's the gangster world, right? That's not a holodeck. That's a that
Sigma
watched
Iosha
a film.
Too, I believe. Read a book.
Read a book. That's why you don't read kids.
So, something gangsters of the, Chicago of the 20s or something like
20th
that.
20th century, yeah.
Yeah.
Prime Directive. The good Prime Directive lesson.
Well, and speaking of books, you also have, like, The Royale.
That's funny.
Surreal.
It's funny once they start to play the characters. Like, once they're like, oh, we're the foreign buyers, and they're like, I don't know, just have Data bet and win, like, you know, that part is kind of funny when they start to inhabit the characters. But yeah, leading up to that, it's not the best episode, but
yeah, I mean, it's like a mind episode, so you know.
Yeah, it's like you said, like, Star Trek has episodes that are funny, and then they have like moments that are funny because it's obviously can't just be intense the entire time. Like, nobody wants to watch that. Who put Tuvix? My gosh, that is not a comedic episode.
It's always
why someone's
no one
getting trolled.
Named Tuvix.
Ooh, all right, someone did mention...
I did see someone posted, not in this, but in another thread, where it's like Picard talking about, there's a new life, and there it sits. And then Janeway's just like, hey, sorry, Tuvix. Peace out.
So, hey, a correction. Sorry, Philip. I'll let you go right after this. But
no, no, please.
There were three Ferengis, and it was Clint Howard, Jeffrey Combs, and... Ethan Phillips.
We got them all. All right, bingo.
Pats on the back all around. Good job, guys.
A fresh can of tube worms or grub worms.
Another barrel of blood wine.
So someone mentioned Rascals.
Oh yeah.
Oh man, yeah, Rascals.
You're my number one dad.
I say it every time, but it's just the way that they act. Like, oh no. The Ferengis are going to figure out that I'm actually transporterly de-aged Picard because I said number one.
And I forget.
No, nobody's thinking that.
I forget who wrote that. I don't know if that was Bragg or someone, but because I was reading something recently, and there's only so many things I read recently. I don't know if it was this book I'm reading or anything, but whoever wrote it, you know, it's one of the big Star Trek writers, was like, oh man, I think about that episode and how horrible it was. I'm like, it wasn't horrible. Don't be like embarrassed. It's a fun.
I mean, it's not like Best of Both Worlds, but it's not a bad episode.
No, I like it.
And you get some character growth in it. I mean, it's a Ro getting her Guinan side episode. You know,
yeah.
Everybody gets a Guinan Tagalon episode.
There's lots of Alexander for Daniel.
Oh
so,
boy.
You know. You have the school computer. Hi, would you like to see a picture of the Enterprise?
No, thank you.
Yeah, that's... And now comparing, like, Rascals to... what was it? Acquisition?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like two episodes where the Ferengis take over a ship called
true.
Enterprise.
That's very true.
You know, I mean, very different in how they go about it, but... Or you even have Menage a Trois, where, yeah. You know, again, just Ferengi. I mean, they're the non-mustache, mustache-twirling villains of
Ferengi
the Federation.
And Lakswana Troy. So.
Yeah. How could you lose? I mean.
Now, there's someone who made a list here. There's two we haven't mentioned in this list. One is Q2. I always think of as a weak episode, but maybe I need to rewatch it. The one with John Delancey's
okay.
son playing his son.
With his son, yeah.
And then the one we mentioned recently.
Well, but that one, is that... Okay, that's Q2. I'm trying to think of... is that the first one where the female Q is in?
That's
or is that
true,
only in Voyager?
True Q is Amanda. Because
that's a lot of fun as well.
Yeah, yeah.
What else is on the list?
Magic to make the sanest man go mad. Is that a laugh out loud comedy, Daniel?
Is that the one with the
Discovery?
Time the yeah. I know it's Discovery, but it's the one where the time loop.
Yeah, it's the time loop one.
I'm like, I'm trying to think of the funny episode of Discovery because there's not
that's
a lot.
As close as they get.
Yeah. Know. Well, they got the party going on in the saucer.
I think it was supposed to be serious.
The serious party where yeah sure yeah
now no, honestly that one's it's really tough with the new stuff because they don't take a lot of time to fill out that the world with that stuff. I will say I'll just mention
Saru's got some funny lines.
Saru does
again that kind of yeah. Spockish yeah. moments.
He's definitely the funny one.
I'm just gonna say with Picard the holograms.
Oh
yeah, the
Rios
holograms.
Is,
that,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's when they all have their like council of holograms.
The council of holograms.
I was also thinking too that both 2009 and Beyond are very funny.
That's true. They do have a lot of good humor in it. You know, from Kirk wrecking his dad's car to you know just a lot of the. You know, it's just interspersed. Again, a lot of Spock. Again, it's a lot of combinations. A lot of Star Trek humor is person A and person B, not just person A.
Well, the slapstick of 2009 is the McCoy pumping Kirk full of drugs.
running through the...
You got numbtime?
Running through
I got something
the
for that.
Budweiser factory, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Or yeah, also Chekhov, where he with the lightning storm and he starts running through the. Or is that no? That's Kirk. Sorry.
I can do that. I can do that.
But yeah, or just Scotty. He's also got a lot of funny moments with Kienzer. Yep.
Yes.
Well, when you have Simon Pegg, drunk. You know.
Yeah.
You got.
Yeah.
I mean, even in the film we should not name, Into Darkness, you have drunk Scotty. Oh, you can tell him I wouldn't enter him if he had to.
I'm sure there are funny things in Into Darkness, but I've still only seen that movie once, so.
It's coming next week. We review Star Trek Into Darkness here. See, I made a joke, guys. That's what we're talking about today.
Ah, a story with a humorous climax.
Oh. I get it.
The Giants. Again, Star Trek 4. I'm trying to think. Well, you know, even Star Trek 6, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. You have, them all hungover the next day. You know, Romulan ale should be illegal. You know, all that stuff. it's got some good humor in it.
I can't believe I kissed you. This has been your greatest ambition.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Well, that's 5, right?
That's 6.
It's 6?
That's 6.
Oh, no, you're right. That is 6.
Yep.
Where they're escaping Rural Pente.
Yeah,
I mean, 6 has got some problems, but yeah. No, it's... Once you throw in more Shakespeare, it just makes it all funny.
Sure.
All right, guys. Well, anything we missed... I think we get a fairly comprehensive double back looped around list of
we did
Star
miss
Trek
something
episodes.
Very important.
Uh-oh, here we go.
There's an episode of TNG that heavily features a comedian.
Oh god.
We didn't even talk about it. So
Joe Piscopo.
Joe Piscopo, which was in the terrible episode of what is the episode? I don't remember the episode.
I don't even remember. Cuz that's the B plot,
isn't
it?
It is the B plot, yeah.
Is this the one where he's writing the letter to Maddox?
No.
Or
that's Data's Day you're thinking of.
Data's Day, yeah. In theory?
Nope, that's where he's
dating
Jenna.
No, that was when he was
dating someone,
Jenna. No.
Okay. But yeah, where he... Oh, no,
it's second season because there's Guinan, because he tells a joke to Guinan.
It feels very fourth wall breaky because the humor when he's with the comedian feels just like that... what was it called? The thing they did for Whoopi Goldberg, where they're talking about the found sweatshirts from the Band-Aid.
Oh, Comic Relief.
Comic Relief, yeah. Like, the way they deliver their lines is, like, the same thing. It's just, it's really rough.
It was the outrageous O'Connor. That's why we're having trouble remembering
it. Oh,
outrageous.
Not a great A-plot either. So.
Oh, God, it's Romeo and Juliet in space with Han Solo.
Yeah, with not Riker, with Riker B, backup Riker.
Well, it's better than Data B.
Oh, before
the Traveler.
I didn't realize that actor was
up for Data.
In the running for Data. Well, I mean, granted, I think the Traveler acts well for what the character he is. I don't think he could pull. I don't think he'd pull off what Brent Spiner gave us, but.
Never know.
Alternate twisted mirror universe, maybe. But all right, guys. Well, it's been fun talking about the fun humor of Star Trek, whether it's Next Generation, TOS, or just Neelix. It's a lot of fun to talk about. Daniel, if someone wanted to talk to you and grill you once more, because it's fun. On the Q episodes, where would they find you?
They could find me on Twitter at OneUpDan. That's the number one, not the word, as in laughter is the number one best medicine.
Couldn't agree more. And Philip, if someone wanted to answer your Twitter questions, maybe the saddest episodes, the most cringeworthy moments that we won't talk about, where would they find you?
They can find me at NC Public Servant. I also asked... Why did they have to kill Lieutenant Carey in, like, the next to the last episode of Voyager? Why?
He almost made it home.
The man had kids.
Well, and if someone wanted to talk to me about, maybe just how much Death to the Opposition should be on a t-shirt, They can find me on Twitter, Twitch, or Instagram under username Dr. Sci-Fi, D-R-S-C-I-F-I. I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gelfis.
I'm Daniel Prue.
Stranded here, laughing it up on City Alpha 3.
Da, 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 da.